The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make them an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. But test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. But among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is John chapter 1, 6 to 8 and 19 to 28, the lesson that was just read. The sermon title is "The Witness to the Light." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Forensic TV shows are popular and have been for many years. Forensic science is the scientific method of gathering and examining information about the past, which is then used in a court of law. TV shows featuring this science have included, and now I'm going back a ways and revealing my age, Quincy M.E., you may remember that guy, Dexter, The Mentalist, CSI in various versions of that, Hawaii Five-O, one of my favorites years ago, Cold Case, Bones, Law and Order, Body of Proof, NCIS, which I think keeps going on in different cities, Criminal Minds, Silent Witness, Case Closed, Midsummer Murders, and Waking the Dead. As much as forensic science has made great advances, especially in the 20th century, still, most court cases still rely heavily on eyewitness accounts and the abilities of a lawyer to persuade the jury. In one of the court cases where I served as a juror in Cook County, Illinois, that's where Chicago is, the eyewitness that was given proved to be the clincher. The defendant was accused of driving out of control through a South Side Chicago intersection. Now, you may think that all Chicagoans drive like this, but it's not true. But this guy did. He drove out of control, steered his car onto the property of a gas station, hit a gas pump island, demolished the gas pumps, the island roof that overhung that, and the side of the gas station that faced the main boulevard. Luckily, the car or the gas didn't blow up. The eyewitness of the property damage was the owner of the gas station. So there might seem to be a conflict of interest that was kind of hard to figure out. Who's telling the truth? When the station owner explained how the defendant was driving erratically and out of control and it caused this damage, then the defendant admitted that the station owner was his best friend. And then there was no reasonable doubt about what had happened. Eyewitness testimony. In our gospel lesson this morning, we are introduced to John the Baptist, a relative of Jesus, who became an eyewitness to Jesus' identity. John the Baptist was the son of Elizabeth, and Jesus was the son of Mary. Luke 1:36 says that Elizabeth and Mary were relatives, but does not give the exact relationship. We can presume from this that John and Jesus knew each other and their respective parents as they were growing up. When Jesus came to John to be baptized, John said to him, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" Matthew 3:14. Thus, even before Jesus' baptism, John had some suspicion that Jesus was greater than him, at least a great prophet, if not something more. Whatever sneaking suspicions John may have had about Jesus were settled at Jesus' baptism. When Jesus walked out of the Jordan River, the heavens above him opened up, and the Spirit of God came down in the form of a dove. And a voice from heaven cried out, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Matthew 3:16-17. John was right there and saw the whole thing. He was an eyewitness of that event. And later he told the crowds this, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down in the form of a dove and remain is he who will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. John continued, I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. John 1, 32 to 34. From this passage, we see that John had three vital functions in Jesus' work of the salvation of mankind. First, he prepared the way of the Lord, John 1, 23, by teaching the people about the Messiah from the Old Testament, and then by telling them to repent. Second, John introduced the sacrament of baptism to the church, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, Luke 3, verse 3, which we continue today. Third, after seeing the Spirit alight on Jesus and hearing the voice of the Father from heaven, John was an eyewitness that this man, this Jesus of Nazareth, was the Messiah and the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1, 29. Now, this matter of eyewitness to Jesus is no small matter. Jesus was, of course, God, but if you don't know that, then his work of salvation will do you no good. John's eyewitness testimony convinced many of his disciples to follow Jesus, John 1, 35 to 42. Some of these former disciples of John became Jesus' own apostles, who then carried their own eyewitness of Jesus' teaching and works to the nations through their preaching and through their authorship of the four Gospels. So Christianity is founded on eyewitness testimony, and you see that throughout all four Gospels and also throughout the New Testament. Martin Luther comments about the role of the eyewitness of John the Baptist in his sermons on the Gospel of John. In these comments, Luther's comments about the sectarians, fanatics, and schismatics applies to Pentecostals, charismatics, and Anabaptists in our day. And I quote this at length because it's directly relevant both to the text and to our current religious situation. Luther comments on verses 6 and 7 in our gospel lesson, and I quote this at length. Luther says, "These words hurl another thunderbolt against the sectarians and fanatics of our own day, for these visionaries despise the oral word. And now mark well the words of our text, which are intended to honor the external word. These desperate rogues, the fanatics, would like to drive us to the point where the light, that is Christ, would be hidden from us. They say it is the Spirit, only the Spirit, that must work everything. If their assumption were correct, it would have been superfluous for John to be sent by God to bear testimony, for then all the people would have been moved directly by the Spirit to accept Jesus as the Messiah, especially since he himself was active in their midst with his message and miracles. But it did not work out this way. No, the people took offense at Jesus' lowly figure. For this reason, it was necessary for John to come with his external word or testimony and to point with Christ with his finger and say, this is he. There was no other means or method." Luther continues, "As we have already said, Christ himself let his light shine with word and deed, perform miracles before the very eyes, helped all the sick that were brought to him, and he taught and preached with such power that the people were astonished. Still, all of this bore little fruit. The schismatic spirits of our day, on the other hand, lay claim to better ways and means of conversion. However, they do not convert to God, but to the devil himself. They are so full of the fanatical spirit, they do not realize how much is required to overcome and vanquish one's own mistaken ideas, opinions, and conceit. It takes toil and trouble to engender faith in people by the God-ordained means of the preaching ministry, absolution, and the sacrament of the altar. Even John could not persuade all of his hearers to give credence to his testimony, to accept Christ and acknowledge that he is the light and life of mankind and the Savior of the world. Now, if even John the Baptist failed to persuade all the Jews to believe his testimony, what ground do these blasphemous fanatics have to stand on with their claim that the Spirit, yes, the Spirit must accomplish it? To be sure, it is the Spirit that drives them and speaks out of them, but it's a spirit that comes from the abyss of hell. Therefore, beware of them. That's Luther. In Luther's theology and the Lutheran confessions, the external word, that is the word that you hear, the word that you read in the Bible, and the external sacraments bring about repentance, conversion, and building up of faith in the converted. The Holy Spirit does not work apart from the Scriptures, the spoken word of the apostles, or the sacraments. Luther explains this all quite clearly in the Small Called Articles, Part 3, Article 8, on confession. Therefore, today, we still depend on the eyewitness testimony of John the Baptist and Jesus' apostles for the creation and sustenance of our own faith, hope, and love. May our Lord continue to strengthen you in such faith until his kingdom comes and you receive the promise of everlasting life in him. In Jesus' name, amen.